we're here. Amen. We're going to do it. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I'm going to fulfill my plan he has for me. I'm going to run my race. The Bible says he that's begun a good work in you will complete it till the day of Jesus. Aren't you glad he's not looking for perfection? I'd be in trouble. Oh, man, I'd be in trouble. But Jesus was perfect, and he did it for us. Praise God. Well, Acts 14:8 is where we're going to go. Of course, this is our second message in our series entitled Faith for Healing. And we'll just do a brief, real brief review and get on to where we're going. But excited for this series because God wants you healed. God wants you free from the distressing diseases and sicknesses that you're facing right now. And God wants you to remain healed on this earth. And this is valuable stuff to keep you healed and get you healed. Now, we're already healed by the word, but I'm talking that manifestation of it showing up in your body. God wants that for you. And so let's get into his word and figure it out. Father, help us. Lord, speak through me. Father, I'm well aware of who I am. I don't mean that to sound like Mr. Humble Pants up here, but I am telling the truth. Father, I know the extent of the very little education I have and what naturally I really brought to this world, which wasn't much to write home about. And so we need you, not me, this morning. I don't have much to give. But Father, we know the anointing will help us. It'll strengthen us. It'll break yokes. It'll deliver us. It'll encourage us. It'll strengthen us. And so, Father, I thank you that I will, this morning, speak as the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Father, I thank you that when I open my mouth, you'll fill it with words from heaven. And Father, I just thank you that we're going to greater places with you. 2021, Father, is a new day. Praise God. It's a new opportunity to go higher with you. Thank you for what will be done and accomplished in our lives and in this church. Speak to us this morning. Thank you for hitting hearts right in the bullseye. We just praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm excited for today. Of course, I sent that slick text out, you know, and I do that to, you know, whet your appetite a little bit, but I don't try to ever be sensational or not truthful. And I said in that today is a truth, that if you'll realize it, get the revelation of it, when it comes to things in your body that seem impossible, you know, you hear words like incurable, and you hear it from professionals that know what they're talking about and can show you the proof. And on top of that, you also feel the things in your body and you're experiencing the things in your body. How do you know that stuff can talk to you? That stuff can attempt to really pull you into fear. And, you know, for a lot of people, faith is a struggle to believe other than what they're feeling, seeing, and experience. Today, this revelation will kick you over into that place of faith. But in Acts 14:8, we saw this last week, that there was a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb who never had walked. Again, we're not talking about a headache here, a hangnail, or the common cold. We're talking about someone that couldn't walk from the time he was born. And the Bible says that same person heard Paul speak. Of course, verse 7 tells us what Paul was speaking. He was speaking the gospel. Who steadfastly beholding and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Now, how did Paul perceive that he had faith to be healed? Because the guy was just sitting there. And you know, I can't tell if you have faith or not based on just what you look like sitting there. But if the Holy Ghost were to reveal it to me, I could. You know, the guy didn't have a sign around his neck or anything saying that I'm in faith. Paul picked that up by the Holy Ghost. Perceived that the man had faith to be healed. Well, when Paul saw that the man had faith to be healed, Paul knew he's got what it takes to get rid of this thing. Paul knew he's got the currency that heaven needs to work. Paul said in a loud voice, verse 10, stand up right on your feet, and he leaped and walked. And so we saw this man had personal faith to be healed. There were other people there that Paul didn't get the same revelation. Must be they didn't have the faith to be healed. But Paul picked something up about this man, says, there's no reason you need to stay in that condition anymore. You have what it takes to get out of this. But notice the Bible said it was that man's faith. And I love this portion of scripture because of how dire it was, number one, it helps us. But number two, this is the common occurrence of how healings happen. This is how it happened in Jesus' ministry. We think at times in our natural minds, and it's our ignorant minds at times, that wow, wouldn't it have been great to be back in Jesus' time, just go to one of his meetings, just get a touch from Jesus, and we walk away. But the majority of the cases that Jesus dealt with, the person receiving, it was their faith he attributed it to. Yeah, there was power and anointing there, but there's always power and anointing available. God is always around. The power is always there. It's those gifts of the spirits that are, you know, few and far between that A lot of people feel like you have to wait for that. No, faith can take it now. And we see here that this man's faith changed his life. But on the same token, the other side of the mountain, Mark chapter 6, we saw that just as much as faith can get you in, the lack of faith can keep you out of God's blessings. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to be sober about this stuff. Why? Because there's a spirit working in the world that's, you know, and it gets into churches as well, and it gets people preaching things that aren't biblical. And one of the main vibes or flows of that Antichrist spirit, what's Antichrist? Anything Antichrist, anti-Bible, is that mentality that, you know, you don't have a part to play and that it doesn't matter what you do. And then people get spoon-fed that, and then they think, well, then I don't have a part, and then faith's not that important to them. But we saw that man, good thing he had faith. Yeah. And in Mark 6, we'll go to verse 5. This is where Jesus went to his own hometown, and they said, we don't believe him. Who's he? We know who he is. And it says in verse 5, he could there do no mighty work, except lay his hands on a few sick folk, and he healed them. So a few people got it, but the majority didn't receive it. And we think, well, I guess it just must not have been their day. It must not have been God's will. And it said in verse 6, he marveled because of their unbelief. They were left in the same way that they came, and their life didn't change simply because they didn't have faith. And we need to be sober about these things and realize we have a part. We have to be responsible, praise God, to make sure we have faith. So just like that guy showed us, your faith can get you in, this group of people shows us the lack thereof can keep us out. So you could look out at people and say, we might be going through things and facing things. There's always causes, facing things, just because of the simple fact that we don't have faith. Well, only we would know that, and God would know that if we truly are in belief or not. But if we're not, I'm here to tell you, it's tripping you up. It's hindering the flow of finances. It's hindering the flow of healing into your life. Well, then we saw how Jesus dealt with it. He said, he went round about the villages teaching. He said, okay, we got to go back to the drawing board. Because I know they don't have faith. There's only one way to get faith. I'm not even praying for them. I'm not crying out to God. I got to tell them more word. Why? Faith comes by hearing the word. And remember, we don't have to turn there for time's sake, but in Luke 5:15, it says they came out to hear him and be healed. And we saw so many places in the Bible where the hearing was first, the healing followed. You can't have faith to receive without the hearing. So we encourage you to hear. So we're going on today talking about faith for healing, because the more you hear about healing, the more faith you'll have for healing. But I want to make sure that we understand something going forward, that we're on the same page. Because I do believe this, that this revelation solves it all when it comes to healing. But just because what I'm going to say is true, just because something is and is there and is meant to do something does not mean you'll benefit from it. An example that came to me, it's a silly one, but God knows I have a silly brain and he deals with me in silly things. He does. I think of my iPhone. And, you know, I'm always apologizing to my father-in-law for the unfortunate problem that he had with me marrying his daughter. So I just apologized to him last week. Why? He was hanging the kids' school pictures on the wall. You say, you can't even do that? No, I can't. I could, but it wouldn't turn out like him. And I would, it would. And let's just be honest, at this point, she's just like, let's just let my dad do this. I say I can do it, and I put forth that fighting spirit, but she squashes it right at the door wisely. No, my dad will be up on the weekend. Let him do it. Yes. Your Highness. Anyway, sorry. But I did realize I offered my father-in-law some value. So these iPhones, I love the iPhone. I don't even know how to do everything on the iPhone. I'm still learning things. But I've learned a lot on that iPhone, and it's brought great blessings to my life. Thing with music, things with messages, things with notes, things with apps, different, you know, alarms and compasses and things you can do on that thing. It's been quite a blessing. My father-in-law, he texts me all the time. how do you do this? How do you do that? How do I get that moon off the, you ever seen the moon? Has the moon ever showed up next to a conversation? And how to get the moon off? I know how to get the moon off. So if you have the moon, I can help you. But anyways, if you don't know what I'm talking about, just sit there and nod your head anyways and enjoy this message. But he's texted me, and I realized something about him is that here he has, like, things that he could do with that phone that would make his life easier. He owns it. It's in his possession. It's in his life. The phone has the capability to do things. And just because he has it and it has that capability does not mean he's benefiting from it. Because I'm going to show you something today that we all as Christians have and the power of what we have. But just because you have it and it's available does not mean you're benefiting from it. Because the initial thought of the natural mind is, well, if what you're saying is true, why do I still have pain in my back? Why do the doctors still say I have this condition? Why do I still feel these symptoms if what you're saying is true? Well, gotta always just think about the iPhone. It's available, it's there, you own it, you have so much you can do with that. But until you get a revelation, because remember, all of these things are activated by faith. And today's message, I'm just going to tell you right off the get-go, if you want to get these in your heart, this cannot be your only feeding on this, what I'm going to share with you. Because a lot of this stuff, I'm going to tell you, it doesn't seem like groundbreaking revelation in the sense that, oh my gosh, I've never heard that before. But the truths in it, when they're realized, when you have that light bulb moment, we don't have to turn there, but in 2 Peter 1 and verse 19, it talks about our light bulb moment. It says that we have the word of God and we're to pay attention to until the day star arises in our hearts. That means we give heed to the word until the light bulb goes off. Well, I've had several light bulb moments in my life. Do you think I just came into Christianity excited and eager and willing to give 10% and so above 10%? Do you think that was the case? Absolutely not. What did I have to do? I renewed my mind. I gave heed to the word on tithing, kept giving heed to it until the faith rose or the light bulb went off. And then also it's like, oh, I see why I have to tithe. I see why it's important. I see why it's vital to my life in the church. Same things with holiness. There were things in my life. Why do I have to give that up? What's the point of that? Or things like going to church. What's so important about it? Things like healing, things like getting over the hump on condemnation, stuff like that. You all of a sudden, you give heed to it till the light bulb goes off. Well, I'm here to tell you that a lot of people don't have the light bulb going off when it comes to what I'm going to share today, because if the light bulb went off of what I'm going to share today, your talking would be different, your walking would be different, your actions would be different, your attitude would be different, your expectation would be different. That's how we can judge these things. So, let's go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to break this verse down, up, down, sideways, left, right, back and forth. We're going to just go right after it. And again, a lot of this stuff you're going to think, this is so elementary. But when you understand what we actually have in the elementary stuff that we're talking about, that's where the change comes. Romans 8 and verse 11 says this. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Notice that. If that's the case, it dwells in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead will also quicken, that means to make alive, your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. Now let me break this down to you. So the Bible says if, something hinges on this if. If the spirit that raised Jesus up, whatever that spirit is, we'll find that out. If that spirit dwells in you, then that same spirit that was used to raise Jesus from the place of death, if it's in you, it also has the power and the ability to quicken or make alive your mortal bodies. I mentioned this. I want to give our parents some hope out there. Real quick before we go. I mentioned this at the end of service last time. It's been on my heart to start praying about getting nursery and children's church back up again. Praise God. And so what I ask people to do at the end of the first service is, first of all, those people that are parents, let me tell you what the guidelines would be real quick. I know I'm taking a little rabbit trail, but I just want to help people, bring comfort to some people. Children in Children's Church would have to wear masks, and so would kids in the nursery, and so would the workers, and there'd probably be temperature checks as well. So we'd make sure the safety precautions are there. But I need parents to start searching their heart to see, and maybe you're already like, yes, sign me up. I don't care, mask, no mask, get my kids away from me. But for those that aren't like that, and want to make sure, find out in your heart, would you even be willing to put your children back in nursery and children's church during this time? And again, we would do all the safety precautions that we would have to do. But also for the workers, if you are currently serving in nursery and currently serving in children's church, would you be comfortable? And again, no condemnation, no bondage. If people aren't, just tell me. You got to follow your own heart. You got to be comfortable. But if you are, and you'd be willing to wear a mask, we'd streamline services to get them down to, the hour and 15 at the most, so people aren't wearing masks for hours at a time. But we need workers to do it, and we need kids to be there. So be thinking about that, because it's been on my heart as we're turning the corner here. It's time to start getting back to some normal things. And that's the way the Spirit of God's leading me, and I'm just going to obey Him on that. And so see what your heart's saying, and then we'll reach out to you. For those that are workers, the people that are head of those departments will reach out to you with the guidelines, and then you just respond whether you're comfortable or doing that or not. Same with parents, we'll reach out to you individually. Would you be willing to put your kids back in nursery and children's church under these guidelines? And if so, we'll do it, praise God. I know some families are thinking, holy cow, thank you, Jesus. Some people haven't even been able to come, because of it. It's been too hard and difficult, and we just follow the Holy Ghost, we'll be all right. But anyways, Romans 8:11. If the Spirit raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised Christ up from the dead will quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. So, we have to find out some things. Because the Bible says, if the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, well, first of all, we got to find out what that Spirit was. But if that Spirit dwells in you, so then we got to find out if it dwells in us. But if we can find out what the Spirit is that raised Him, and if we can find out that dwells in us, look what the result can be. It says that, Dr. Jessica, did you hear that announcement? Are you happy? I mean, you're one of those people with lots of kids. I mean, we like the Mears ones. They help us with our church attendance numbers. And so I just want to make sure she heard that. She's a mom and these kids. But anyways, if we can find that, the Bible says it will make alive our mortal bodies. It'll change our bodies. It'll actually change the sickness into health, change the wrong cells into the right cells, bring life to it. So let's find out then, if that Spirit, first and foremost, we need to identify what was the Spirit that raised Jesus up, because then we got to find in the Word, is that the same thing that's living in me? And so go with me to Acts 2 and verse 32. Now this is where it's going to seem like Pastor Mike is taking you back to Bible 101 and treating you like you're a kindergartner, but I'm not. I'm trying to really get you to understand what's in you, because a lot of people say, I know this, but you really don't. When you're walking around afraid and nervous, you don't know this. I'll just say it this way. If you have fear of anything, you know what that means? You need to know more things. There's nothing that God says fear's okay with. Fear's the opposite of faith. He wants you in faith in everything. Anything that you're afraid of, it's just because you don't know enough yet. That's just the way it is. So you can say you know, but if you're still afraid, you have some knowing left to do. Acts 2 and verse 32 says, this Jesus has God raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses. So right off the bat, it tells us what raised Jesus from the dead. Well, here in this verse, it tells us that God did it. And I know, of course we know that. But remember, if what raised Jesus from the dead is also in you, it has the potential to change your body. Okay, so we found out that. But that's not the only thing that raised Jesus from the dead. Go to John 2 and verse 18. So God raised Jesus from the dead, but Jesus also had something to say about this. In chapter 2 and verse 18, and also, if the Holy Ghost tells us to go back to one service, we'll go back to one service. And if people aren't comfortable, we have overflow seating, and you can wear a mask the whole service. People at Wegmans wear masks all day long because they know they need that paycheck. I'm just telling you the truth. Like, if I am on, if I can keep myself, you know, naturally go by the guidelines, it's worth it to me. And again, I'm only going to do this if the Holy Spirit leads us to do it. Amen. But he's talking to me about some things, and we have to start preparing for some things. And we've had a year to build our faith up. Yes. We've had a year to build our faith up. So John 2 and verse 18, and today's going to help you immensely. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign do you show us, seeing you do these things? Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now, when they heard that, they thought he was talking about the physical temple. But if you read on that story, it talks about how when Jesus died and rose again, they remembered, oh, he said this. He wasn't talking about the building. He was talking about himself. Because what was raised in 3 days? The temple, the body of Christ, was raised in 3 days. But notice who he says is going to do it. He says, destroy this temple, and I'm going to raise it. So now God had his hand in raising Jesus from the dead, but Jesus also had his hand in his raising from the dead. Now go with me to 1 Peter 3 and verse 18. So we have God the Father was involved. God the Son was involved in raising Jesus from the dead. So I can bet you can guess where we're going next. 1 Peter 3 and verse 18. It says, for Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Notice this, being put to death in the flesh. Well, we know he was dead, he needed to be raised. But how was he raised? Quickened, made alive by the Spirit. Talking about the Holy Ghost. Now, before I mention this, jump over, should be a couple pages in your Bible, to 1 John 5 and verse 7. Go to the right. 1 John 5 and verse 7. Says, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word. Now, for those people that wonder, what's the Word is Jesus there. You say, well, it says the Word. Why does it say Jesus? Well, another word for Jesus is the Word. Remember in John chapter 1, it says that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, talking about Jesus' manifestation on the earth as a baby. So it says there's three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But notice this, and it's a little trippy to our mind and hard for our minds to grasp this. And these three are one. Do you see that? God has a role, Jesus has a role, and the Holy Ghost has a role. Even the Holy Ghost now has a different ministry than what Jesus himself, but yet at the same time, Jesus is also the Holy Ghost. And they're one. It'll make your mind spin. But your heart knows it, and you'll fully understand it more someday, but they're separate yet one. So basically what it's telling us is that in the raising from Jesus from the dead, what was the Spirit that raised him? It was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, but it was God that did that. Okay, so now jump back to Romans 8 and verse 11, and let's look at our qualifications, because now we've solved part of the puzzle. It says that if the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. Well, now we have identified what raised Jesus from the dead. It was God ultimately, which is made up of three, but it was God did it, Jesus said, I'm going to do it, and the Holy Ghost had his part in it. So now we've identified. So now what we have to find, does the Word say that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit dwell in us? You already know it does, but let's look at it just to build our faith even more. Go to 1 John 4 and verse 4. Does the Bible say God is in us? And see, me just saying that should start pulling light bulb strings. Wait, yes. God's in me? Yeah. Come on. Christians don't live out of that revelation. They don't. 1 John 4 and verse 4 says, you are of God, little children. Who's the subject talking about? God. And have overcome them. So there's them and God. But you're of God, so he's going to talk to you about God. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Well, the worlds are them, and the one that's in you is God. So does the Bible say that God is in you? It does. You have God in you. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. So remember, it was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost that raised Jesus from the dead. If we can find these in us, then we qualify for our bodies to be changed. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5 says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? how that Jesus Christ is in you. Do you see that? Jesus Christ is in you. So God's in you, Jesus is in you. Again, they're one but three. Hard to get that, I know. But Jesus is in you. Well, God raised him, Jesus raised himself, and the Holy Ghost did. Well, now we found God's in us, Jesus in us. Is the Holy Spirit in us? John 14 and verse 16. You already know he is, but John 14, 16 says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Who's he talking about? The Spirit of Truth, verse 17, the Holy Ghost. "Whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you." And notice this, "and he will be in you." Oh boy. You ought to be happier than you look right now, because the Bible says, if the Spirit, what's the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. If that Spirit dwells in you, it will quicken or make alive your natural mortal body. What's it saying? It will quicken, bring the dead things to life, bring the off things to right, the crooked things to straight, the wrong cells to the right cells, the wrong germs to the right germs, the bones and the place and things that are out of order into the right order. Now again, my natural mind would jump to that if you've located what that Spirit is and you've located that it's in the believer, why on earth, if God is in me, if that same Spirit's in me, why am I still in pain? Why am I still sick? Why do you have the iPhone and still don't know how to do anything with it? It has a whole lot you can do, but until you get the revelation, what is the activator of all these things? Faith is the activator. Think about those two services that we reviewed on. There was one service, Paul's preaching. Somebody walked away different. Why? Well, the Bible attributes it. The man had faith. Jesus had another service, and people walked away unchanged. And what did Jesus attribute that to? No faith. Both were opportunities. Both had the power there. Both were ready for change, but didn't cooperate to activate that power. So I'm telling you, yes, you have the very Spirit in you that was powerful enough to bust the chains of death, which, let's be honest, death is worse than the coronavirus. It's worse than the flu. It's worse than the common cold. It's worse than cancer. Because death is the ultimate fear of why do people get afraid when they have cancer? They're afraid that it's going to kill them. What is the ultimate thing, right? The ultimate, on the spectrum of intensity, sickness unchecked leads to destruction and death. Well, that Spirit that's in you was stronger than death, and it's telling you that being in you, it now has the ability to quicken or make alive your mortal body, but it's not happening for a lot of people, even though it's residing in them. Why? It has to be activated. You know, when I think about the iPhone, and even you can get an iPhone, and it can have all the capabilities, but even that has to be activated. But yet it has all the capabilities, all the power. It's got to be activated. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Now go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 5. Now we're going to start digging and looking at some things and maybe realizing some things of why on earth, if I have this power in me, why do I still have back problems? Because do you think that that Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is intimidated by back problems? You think that that Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead can't stand up to cancer, can't stand up to arthritis, can't stand up to whatever sickness and disease you have? Oh, it can. Here's the problem. Paul said that your faith, what can your faith do? Cause the crippled man to get up and walk out. Cause the woman with 12 years sick in her body to get her healing. He said that your faith should not stand, one word for that is rest, in the wisdom of men, But your faith should rest in the power of God. Well, what's that power of God? The ultimate display of the power of God was when death was defeated and the power was displayed and Jesus was rose from the dead. That life-raising power, that's where your faith should be, in God's power. Now, I'm going to say some things now and get a little bold, but let me qualify some things, because the devil will try to take you down a road that you're not supposed to go down, into condemnation or offense towards me. I'm going to use coronavirus just because it was so visible and it's where we are in life. But coronavirus is, now I'm not saying symptoms-wise or, you know, intensity of different things people experience. All coronavirus is throw it in the mix of what God doesn't want for you, which is in the same bag as the common cold, same bag as the flu, same bag as, you know, sinuses and allergies. So when I'm saying coronavirus, because I'm telling you, you saw your pastor go through sickness for 2 years, and I'm telling you, I've had the common cold. I've had the flu. I've had these things. I've never had coronavirus, but I've had those things. As far as I know, I've never had coronavirus. So when I'm using coronavirus, I'm not singling out a group of people that have gotten coronavirus, because, again, it's no different than any one of us have gotten a cold. It's still anti what God wants for you. It's not any different. Maybe it gets the flu. So I'm just using that for the mentality, because people have experienced it, and that's not a spotlight on them, but I want to highlight something. You know how I know that people's faith are not in the power of God? It's not in the power of God, it's in the wisdom of man. The way people reacted when this thing hit our shores. I know it for a fact, because the Holy Ghost dealt with me. Remember when this all started coming about, and I sent a slick text out, said, "We're not changing anything." Yeah. I sent that out. And immediately started having, just being grieved in my spirit, like, what is that, Lord? What is that? Well, I began to seek God. Anytime that's there, what is that? Well, I knew, yes, you are going to be making changes. And then it was so awesome that within the next day or two, the Lord revealed to me and confirmed it. I was around my pastor. He told me the same thing that I heard Brother Hagin say in a message right within that same day that I had met with Pastor Michael. And it was this: you can't pastor your church based on your revelation and where you're at. You have to pastor where the people are at. Now, what does that mean? That's not me elevating myself. Listen, let's be honest. My faith should be strong if I do what my job is, which is what? Always be in the Word. The minister's job is to continually give himself to the ministry of the Word, being in the Word, and to prayer. You should be different if that's what your job title is. The pastor should be more spiritual than the sheep. That's not a bragging thing. I encourage you, give me a run for my money, but I'm just saying that's what I do. So when coronavirus hit, I had a mentality towards that thing that I'll show you in the Bible was biblical, but I found that most people don't have this mentality. Well, what am I talking about? Most people's faith was in the wisdom of man. How do I know? Because fear hit people. If your faith's in the power of God, you know coronavirus is nothing. But you know what problem we've gotten into? We've put our faith in the natural, and that's why we are accepting of the common cold. That's why we are, you just get the common cold. Everybody gets the flu. Everybody has aches and pains. Why? Why do we believe that? Because that's been the normal. That's what the natural tells us, and that's where our belief is at. Well, when the coronavirus hit, what were people's reactions? Natural reactions. Afraid? But here's the kicker. Why, as the body of Christ, with the Spirit in us that demolished death, why would we ever entertain even the thought that we might even get it? Now again, for people that have gotten it, again, we're not separating that, because why are we even entertaining that we would even get a cold or the flu or aches and pains? Because that's the norm and that's where our faith is in the natural. Because we hear Dr. Fauci and we hear all these people pumping this stuff in us. When the whole time, what do we have? And again, I'm not against following wisdom, but people have used the I'm following natural wisdom like Captain America uses a shield and hide behind that and use that as a weapon. And the reason they do that is not because they're using faith in using wisdom, it's because their faith is in natural wisdom. And so to hide behind their fears and stuff, they'll do things, and the way they do things, they'll say, I gotta follow natural wisdom. But I have people all the time that are making statements to me that they won't come to church. And see, here's where natural wisdom doesn't fly with me, when it violates the word of God. When the husband that's got a family years ago, and his family, his wife and kids are suffering and can hardly eat and are not adequately clothed and don't have proper housing, and he's telling me, God's telling him not to work. You're full of it. It's violating the word of God. And when people say natural wisdom, well, I'm using natural wisdom by not coming to church. But yet you're shopping, and your kids are still going to daycare, and you're still going to your job. But I don't want to go to church. But we hide behind this shield of I'm using natural wisdom. And I'm for natural wisdom. Don't get me wrong. You have to use natural wisdom. God didn't give you a brain to flush it down the toilet. That's not what faith is for, to get rid of your brain. No. But let's be honest, people. Where is our faith? Because I'm just going to tell you the truth. When coronavirus hit, my immediate thought is, they're talking about how contagious. Well, it's not going to attach to me. That's right. Now, again, I've had colds and things, so we know I've not arrived. I'm fully saying that. But I'm saying my mentality of going forward, our mentality should be faith in the power. Yes. Not faith in the... People have put their faith in these. Oh, they've put their faith in them. They've put their faith in social distancing. And again, I'm not saying they're wrong. Like, it's wrong to social distance or to mask. I'm not saying that. But just because somebody wears a mask doesn't mean they're not in faith. And just because somebody doesn't wear a mask doesn't mean they're in faith. Faith is of the heart, you know, but we can see by people's reactions and things. You know how you can tell if your faith's in the power of God? Just ask yourself right now. If every bit of my income was gone and was going to be gone for the rest of 2021, what's my reaction right now? If you're afraid, you don't have faith in the power of God then. You had faith in that paycheck. It just shows. Hallelujah. If somebody comes next to you in the grocery store and they've encroached in that 6-foot space, and you get troubled and all worked up and nervous, you don't have faith in the power. What if I get it? What if this happens? Why are you even entertaining that? Why? Because your faith's been in the natural. And natural, that's what happens in the natural. Things are contagious and people get things. But we don't have to be natural beings. Now, before you get all snooty and snotty, I want to show you what's available to you. Go to Psalm 91. Hallelujah. Now, read all Psalm 91 on your own, but let's just highlight a little portion of it. Verse 9. Because you have made the Lord, which is your refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. See, it's talking about being in with God. Being in His will. Being mindful of Him. Look what it says. No evil will befall you. Now look at the next line. No plague shall come near your dwelling. Now again, common cold, flu, been there, done that, you know, things, and sinus infections and allergies, yes. But the word says, that there's a place that we can be in the natural where plagues don't even come near the body of Christ. And that's what I'm highlighting. Not if people have gotten colds or flus or have gotten the coronavirus. I'm highlighting the mentality that was from the get-go of people even entertaining that you would get it. Why do we entertain that? Because our faith's not in that. And my mentality from the get-go of this thing was, we're not changing anything. We got the Spirit of God in us. Nothing's going to get on us. Nothing's going to touch us. We'll do that. We'll see what natural things, if there's things the Holy Ghost leads us to do and walk things out. And the Holy Spirit said to me, and then I found out by talking to people, by being around people and through prayer, that is not where most people are with this thing. People are terrified of this thing. Look at this. You say, Pastor Mike, you're being too harsh. No, look what Psalm 91 says in verse 5. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night. What's that saying? There's going to be terrorist things at night, things that bring terror. You're not supposed to be afraid of those things. Look at, nor for the arrow that flies by day. Oh, yeah, there's going to be arrows coming at you. He says, don't be afraid of the arrows. What's an arrow? Coronavirus is an arrow. When the flu goes around, that's an arrow. When they talk about recession and poverty, those are arrows. Those are terrors. And he's telling you, you don't be afraid of it. Well, why not? Why don't I have to be afraid of it? Because I don't have to partake in it. But most people aren't living from that revelation that I don't have to get this stuff. I don't have to be a part of recession. Yeah, the economy might go sideways and south and all this stuff, but I am not going to suffer. Yes, the world might be getting this and that, but I'm not getting it. I'm going to have the mentality, I'm going to walk free of colds. I'm going to walk free of the flu. This is what he's saying to us. And again, it's not a mark on who hasn't walked into some things. But what is our mentality? Is our faith really resting in the power of God in our lives? Probably not. I want to show you what it looks like for one that is. This is John G. Lake. John G. Lake was a minister in the early 1900s, and he had 100,000 confirmed medical healings, not just word of mouth, confirmed, documented medical cases where doctors signed off, something's different after this person ministered to him. He was responsible for raising up thousands and thousands of pastors, miracle signs and wonders. He ministered out of Seattle, Washington, and when he was back in his heyday, you can look this stuff up, it's true, Seattle was dubbed the healthiest city in America. Listen to John G. Lake. This was his testimony during the bubonic plague. He says, now watch the action of the law of life. Faith belongs to the law of life. Remember, the Bible says your spirit will be quickened or made alive. Life, the law of life. It says, faith is the very opposite of fear. Faith has the opposite effect in spirit, soul, and body. Faith causes the spirit of man to become confident. It causes the mind of man to become restful and positive. A positive mind repels disease. Consequently, the emission of the spirit destroys disease germs. Well, if he says it'll quicken your mortal body, well, think about what that's happening on the inside of you. If you have bad cells and it's making those cells alive, it's killing those cells. Those germs, it's killing those germs. That's what that spirit can do. And it said, and because we were, it says, a positive mind repels disease, consequently the emission of the spirit destroys disease germs. And because we were in contact with the spirit of life, I and a little Dutch fellow who went with me went out and we buried many of the people who had died from the bubonic plague. We went into the homes and carried them out, dug the graves, put them in. Sometimes we would put 3 or 4 in a grave. We never contracted the disease. Why? Because of the knowledge of that law of life in Christ Jesus protects us. That law was working. Because of the fact that a man by that action of his will puts himself purposely in contact with God, faith takes possession of his heart and the condition of his nature is changed. Instead of being fearful, he is full of faith. Instead of being absorbent and drawing everything to himself, his spirit repels sickness and disease. The spirit of Christ Jesus flows through the whole being and emits through the hands, the heart, and from every pore of the body. Now, this is interesting. During that great plague that I mentioned, they sent a government ship with supplies and a corps of doctors. One of the doctors sent for me and said, what have you been using to protect yourself? Our core has this preventative for this and this preventative for that, which we use as protection. But we concluded that if a man like you can stay on the ground like you have and keep ministering to the sick and burying the dead, you must have a secret. What is it? The doctor's like, what are you doing? You're not using any protection. You're handling these people. You're burying them. You're in contact with this, but nothing's happening to you. What is the secret? He said, brother, that's the law of life of Christ Jesus. He says, I believe that as long as I keep my soul in contact with the living God so that his spirit is flowing into my soul and body, that no germ will ever attach itself to me. See his mindset? Yeah. True faith is never what if. It was never, what if I get this? No, he was so sold out that the power of God is greater than the bubonic plague, it never even crossed his mind that he might. That's right. Yeah. That's someone sold out to the power, that their faith is resting in the power. You know what faith looks like? How many of you are convinced tomorrow morning the sun's going to rise? Yeah. Raise your hand. Yeah. Me. You haven't seen it. What's the date today? The 17th. You have never seen the sun come up on January 18th, 2021. You've never seen it. But every one of you is, I mean, you're not even entertaining the thought that it might not. That's called faith. See, when you start entertaining the thought, I might get this, I might, you're not in faith. You're susceptible to things. That's what he's saying. You open yourself up to getting stuff and letting things come on you when your mind even goes into the realm of what if. Because you don't say, what if the sun doesn't rise? Because you know it's going to. You're convinced of it. The person in faith, like Abraham got to, doesn't say, what if Isaac's not born? Brother Hagin wrote a book. It's called If, the Badge of Doubt. If is the badge of doubt. What is it? It's showing that you're in doubt. And when you say, but if I get this, if I get that, you're showing that your faith is not truly in that which would completely keep you free from anything coming on you. I have a place to go. I have areas to grow. Do you? It's making me realize, man, I have not arrived. Have you? I'll tell you an example. Sometimes when, you know, I've been around family members, and they'll mention, yes, so-and-so had the flu. My mind instantly goes to, oh, crap, what if I get it? Am I allowed to say, oh, crap, in church? I don't know if I did twice now. Forgive me if you're anti me saying that. I'm not trying to be crude. That's my thought when I'm around these people. It doesn't go to, oh, that's okay. Now, again, I don't go walking into a flu-ridden house and just parade around and be ignorant of or arrogant. You can have arrogant faith. That's really not faith. But if I'm all of a sudden didn't know and wasn't privy to it and told that I'm around somebody that just had the flu, my first thought shouldn't be, oh my gosh, what if I get it? What is that? That is a total lack of recognition of actually what's inside me. And that's what John G. Lake is saying. He's saying, I didn't even... He said, I believe that as long as I keep my soul in contact with the living God, to his spirit flowing in my soul, that no germ will ever attach itself to me, for the spirit of God will kill it. He asked, don't you think, the doctor said, don't you think you better use our preventatives? I replied, no, but doctor, I think you should come over and do an experiment with me. He said, go over to one of these dead people and take the foam that comes out of their mouth immediately after they die and put it under a microscope, and you'll see masses of living germs. And so the doctor did that. Took the foam out of the person's mouth, put it on the microscope, saw all the nastiness that was there. John G. Lake said, well, they tried it, and found it was true. He said, fill my hand with the same foam. He said, and we'll keep it under the microscope. And he said, and you're going to watch it die instantly. Why? It's going to contact the power of God, and the power of God will kill those things instantly. But again, it's in every one of us. But why do we still have the back pain? Why do we still get things? Because we have not arrived to where we could go. And he said, they tried it, found it was true, and they questioned, said, what is that? I replied, that is the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. When a man's spirit and man's body are filled with the blessed presence of God, it oozes out of the pores of your flesh and kills the germs. Suppose, on the other hand, my soul had been under the law of death and I were in fear and darkness. The very opposite would have been the result. Well, they didn't get their healing in Mark chapter 6. What was the opposite? Doubt. They were in doubt. He said the result would have been that my body would have absorbed the germs and these would have generated disease and I would have died. Think about it. How on earth can a disease or sickness or pain even be alive on our body with what's in us? What that tells me is we are the activators. I want to go to a last verse here to help you going forward to meditate on this. Acts 2:24. And again, we don't condemn them that have colds and you've seen me go through things and stuff. I'm being honest what my mindset is. And oh my gosh, this. Our faith is, you know why our faith is so much in the natural? See, John G. Lake, you have to be careful telling stories like this because then people just go and chuck their medicine out the door and they'll go into a store, not wear a mask and parade around, or they'll be around the flu and think, and then they'll get something. He didn't get there just because he wanted it. Like, I want to put on a show here. I want to look like I'm in faith. You can say like you're in faith, but faith is of the heart. You're either in faith or you're not in faith. And no fake words and no fake walk and talk, and it's going to change it. And so you have to be careful talking about John G. Lake with people, because people think, well, I'm just going to go out and do what John G. Lake did. But John G. Lake, it was a process to get to that place. And you know why we don't arrive at the place that he was in? Because we spend so much time sowing in the natural realm. I'm not condemning or coming down. God knows we have lives, but we also know if things are important to us, we can make adjustments. And we don't spend enough. See, Moses went into the presence of God and came out different. Most Christians are not spending any time under that shadow of the Almighty. And so when they're walking out of that place they spend in the short time, they're still inundated with all the fear and worries and natural things that's being bombarded and that they're feeding on all day long, all week long, all month long, all year long. And so we hear things like this, we think, that is so far out in outer space that we could ever get there. Well, it probably is so far in outer space for people because people will never pay the price. I remember the story Brother Hagin told, or Norval Hayes told this about Brother Hagin. Norval Hayes and Brother Hagin grew up ministering and mighty healing, you know, ministries. And Norval Hayes and Brother Hagin were sitting at a crosswalk, and a crippled person walked across the crosswalk. And Norval Hayes said, Brother Hagin, is it God's will for that man to be healed? And Brother Hagin, certainly it is. It's God's will for everybody to be healed, but it's only going to happen unless somebody pays the price. Now, what was he talking about, somebody paying the price? Well, somebody, first of all, to get that person into a place of faith, somebody's going to have to pay the price of standing in the gap for that person to pray. Remember when Paul was talking about the Galatians? He said, I travail in prayer for you until you're fully formed in Jesus. What was he saying? He's saying that, yeah, you're saved, but now to get you to a place, he says, I got to spend time like a woman in childbirth laboring in prayer to get you to a place. And so Brother Hagin said, yeah, that guy can be healed, but somebody's going to have to pay the price. And if we want to get to a place where we can be so filled with the power of God that we could walk into the middle of a plague and be like, nothing's touching me and nothing really touches you, we're going to have to take some time. We can't spend hours and hours doing natural things all the time and never giving to the spirit life. We can't. Now, I don't want to present this as unattainable. Anything that God gives us is not unattainable. And if it's ever presented as unattainable, it's wrong. It's not unattainable. Nobody's saying it has to be 8 hours a day. Nobody says it has to pray for 5-6 hours a day. That's not what anybody's saying. But how many of you know we can all make adjustments and grow and let the Spirit guide us in what we need? And okay, hey, do this a little more. Maybe separate yourself from that. Turn that off maybe. Make that adjustment. We can all do that. See, God doesn't give us these things and say they're only for the preacher. Only for the one that can take 8 hours a day in the Word. Because that's what I can do. That can spend 8 hours a day in prayer. That's what I can do. Why? That's my job. You go to your job, I go to my job. I go to my job. That's what I do. It's a pretty cool job. It is. It's a pretty cool job. But God knows that you can't do that. So what to get to this place of a revelation of faith, he didn't say you have to hear and hear the word 8 to 10 hours a day. He just said you got to make sure you're hearing the word. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Now, last verse, I got off on that rabbit trail there. But I'll say this because it needs to be said. What's going to happen when things hit our shores or come to our lives? And some of you already faced these types of things. What am I talking about? Things that your paycheck can't fix. Things that your bank account can't fix. What about things that your medicine's not fixing? That therapy's not working. There's no cure for you. Those are the kind of things I'm talking about. What about when things hit our shores and the only thing, when I say only, I'm not belittling it, but I'm putting it in a class by itself. When the only thing that'll save your rear is the power of God. What happens when there's nothing to grab onto? You know what this is? It's a faith crutch. What happens when this won't even solve the problem? What happens when spacing won't solve the problem? There are going to be things that the power of God, and you've already experienced, I've experienced them, that the only thing that saved my hind end was his power and faith in that power. And I hope the Holy Spirit lets me take this in a direction of focusing on the power. Because why does this fix the problem with healing? Because when you recognize, well, let me just read this verse, Acts 2:24, and we'll say what I'm the revelation I had here of why this fixes your faith problem. It says, Acts 2:24, who God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. Now remember, God raised Jesus from the dead. But we found out, if we can find out what that spirit is, which was God, if it's in us, it also does something to us. So now it's saying God raised Jesus from the dead. Amplified, please. This will really bring it out. God raised him up, liberating him from the pains of death. Notice this. Seeing that it was not possible for Jesus to be continued, to be controlled, or retained by it. What was the it? The it was death. But when God's power got involved, the Bible says that it was impossible anymore for death to stand up to that power. And we already established earlier in this yap session that I've had that sickness is way worse than any disease. It's way more powerful. It's the end goal of the devil. Look what it's telling you here. That power that raised Jesus, that's also in you, death itself, it was impossible for it to stand up against. You know what it was like? Death was like Mike Anderson, and the Spirit of God was like Mike Tyson. Put me in a ring with Mike Tyson, and guess what? There's no match. There's no match. There's nothing I can do. It's impossible without a move of God, right? And that's what it's saying about sickness versus the power of God, or death versus the power of God. And if it's saying that about death, what does it say about something lesser concerning sickness? Your mentality should be, there's no way I'm not being healed from this. Because what I have on the inside of me and what's trying to work against me can't stand up against. It's impossible. I kicked over into this gear about a year into that physical test and trial and started preaching that testimony every day on my walk with my dog of when I would be free, and I was still a year from it. And I would say, with this revelation, I would say, Father, the power of God's in me. It has to drive out. It's impossible. It can't stand against what's in me. So when I get that revelation, what have I done? Just flip the switch of faith. The power starts flowing, and what starts happening? Sickness and disease start disappearing and dissipating. That's the mentality that one must have. And if you have a revelation of these verses, how? By hearing it and hearing it till the light bulbs go off. All of a sudden, you're going to recognize, oh my gosh, what's in me is so much more powerful than that which has been coming against me. It can't stay any longer. There's not any what ifs I'm going to live like this anymore. You are so sold out that it's changing. It has to change. It's impossible for it not to change. That's what's in you. But yet we, oh my gosh, you are within 5 feet, back up. And we have God on the inside of us. And a man that had a recognition of that was burying people with the bubonic plague and putting the foam of the sick people on his hands and saying, watch what happens. Glory to God. We have ways to go, people. We have revelations to grab a hold of. Hallelujah. So let's do it, praise God. Father, we love you today. We're so grateful, so thankful. Praise your holy name. The spirit of life in Christ Jesus, whether we recognize it or not, it's in there. Holy cow. That same spirit that demolished death, that absolutely destroyed the chains of death, that the death couldn't even, it wasn't even possible. It was an impossible match. I have that same spirit on the inside of me. Things can't not change. Things can't not be different. Things can't not turn. Things can't not be driven out. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Help us to have this revelation going forward. Help us to grow into these things, Father. I know we're not there yet, and we can't live like we are and act like we are and try to put on what John G. Lake did. No, we got to get that from our heart. But it's available. No plague come near our dwelling, not to worry about a thing, not to be afraid of nothing. Why? Because we don't have to partake of it. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, real quick, heads bowed and eyes closed. As I look around the room this morning, as far as I know, to the best of my knowledge, everybody here has received Jesus. But if you're in here, you're watching online, and you've not received Jesus, you could say to yourself, I don't know if I go to heaven, because when you receive Jesus, that takes care of that question. I don't know if I go to heaven. I'm not sure I'm good enough. I'm not sure I'm this. I had someone this week tell me that if me being good enough and being moral and kind to people is enough to get me in, then I don't want to go. And I thought, well, that's not how you're going to get in, because what's the measuring line? Your righteousness? No, it's Jesus's. And your bad works can't keep you out, so. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anybody in here you've never made Jesus your Savior? You want to receive him today? You want to know that you're going to heaven? Just lift your hand high in the air if that's you. Anybody? Father, I don't see a hand here, but people watching, there might be someone. And I encourage you, when you're done, look at Romans 10 and verse 9. Don't just believe a preacher just because I have a title in front of my name and I'm on live stream and we have a church. Big deal. Take what I'm saying and bring it to the Bible. Look at Romans 10 and verse 9. It says that if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died and rose again, raised from the dead, you'll be saved. Nothing about your church attendance or lack thereof, nothing about being a good person or lack thereof, everything to do with Jesus. I encourage you, when this message is over, get alone with him and cry out to him. Romans 10:13 says to call on his name. It just sounds something like this. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. I ask you into my life as my Lord and Savior. If you pray that, he'll do his part. He'll save you. Heaven will be yours. Send me an email. Give me a phone call. Let me know you prayed that prayer, and I'll help you with your next steps, because there's next steps for you. God wants to bless you and help you. But Father, we just thank you. Can we just worship him together? I know for me, I need to repent. Father, I'm sorry for not being aware of what's in me at all times, for not being conscious of that. To live my life, to ever be afraid, to ever be worried, to ever be nervous, to ever be what if. It's really just a lack of recognition of what's in me. Forgive me, Father. I endeavor to know more, and I just thank you for your patience with me. Good Lord, thank you, God, for your patience with me. Praise God. Praise God. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Of course, if you need prayer, I would love to join my faith with you and go on this journey with you. Come up after service. Don't forget to put your offerings in. But also, MTC, last day to sign up. And again, parents that have children that would be in children's church or nursery, be thinking about, would you take up a service like that during these times? And also, for those that serve in those areas, would you be willing to serve during those times? Again, no condemnation, no bondage or anything like that. But love you, appreciate you. We'll see you Wednesday. If not, we'll see you Sunday. You're dismissed.